In his account of the infancy of Jesus, St. Luke emphasizes how faithful Mary and Joseph were to the law of the Lord. They fulfilled with profound devotion all of the prescriptions for the birth of a firstborn male. The woman was required to abstain from ritual practices for 40 days, after which, according to the law found in Leviticus, she was to offer a double sacrifice, a lamb as a burnt offering and a turtle dove as a sin offering. But if she was too poor to afford the lamb, she could offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And St. Luke explains that Mary and St. Joseph offer that sacrifice of the poor on this day, 40 days after Christmas, in order to emphasize that Jesus was born into a lowly family, into an impoverished family, just as he was born into an impoverished humanity, that which had fallen from grace and was living the life here on earth without sanctifying grace. Yet he also shows that that poor family, that lowly family, was a steadfast family of faith, a family that belonged to the poor of the Lord, who formed the true people of God, Israel. For the firstborn male, there was another sacrifice that was to be made according to Mosaic law, that he was to be set apart for God. And redemption was prescribed for the firstborn. It was established that it would be an offering of 5 shekels to be paid to any priest in any place. That was supposed to remind them of that everlasting memory of the fact that there was a time when they were slaves in Egypt, in the time of Pharaoh. And God saved the firstborn of the Jews, pulling them out in safety. And so it is important to note that these two acts, the purification of the mother and the redemption of the son, they absolutely did not require a trip to the temple. They could be fulfilled anywhere throughout all of the Holy Land. But Mary and Joseph wish to fulfill all of the prescriptions in Jerusalem. And they do so in fulfillment of not only these laws, but also the prophecies for the Messiah. For St. Luke shows how this entire scene converges on the temple and focuses on Jesus who enters into the temple. God entering into his place where he belongs. And it is here precisely through the prescriptions of the law, through being faithful to the commandments of God, that the principal event is transformed. It becomes not merely a purification of the mother and a redemption of the son, but it becomes the presentation of Jesus into the temple of God, a means of that first chance of offering the son to the Father Most High, the one who had sent him. And so it becomes then a sign of what all of us are doing from that point on, not merely asking for our sins to be forgiven, but offering the sacrifice of the Son, presenting the Son to God the Father. Every Mass is the representation of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to God the Father, shown and in its very early stages right here in the Feast of the Presentation. We want to see that this is confirmed, that St. Luke even makes reference to the prophet Malachi, which was our first reading. We heard, "Behold, says the Lord, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me." And we can pause there, and we all know that in this prophecy's fulfillment, it's speaking of St. John the Baptist, the one who went to prepare the way before Jesus. And Malachi continues, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the message of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and then the offerings of Israel will be pleasing to the Lord." Malachi puts that word on suddenly, and so we see how beautiful then that very suddenly after the birth they come to the temple. He didn't have to, as I said. They could have done that at any other synagogue or any other place throughout all of Israel. But suddenly, in fulfillment of this prophecy, they come into the temple. The words of the prophecy of Malachi made no mention of a child, yet they are fulfilled clearly in Christ Jesus, thanks to the faith, thanks to the dedication of his parents. And so we see this act of presentation, this offering of the Son in the temple of God. We see then emerges from this event the themes of priesthood and sacrifice, those which are spoken of also in our second reading, that letter to the Hebrews. We want to see that the child Jesus, who is immediately presented in the temple on this day, is the same person who as an adult would purify the temple, who is the same person who would make himself the sacrifice, letting himself be the high priest and the sacrifice of the new covenant. And so we want to see that as high priest, as sacrifice, he himself is doing all which we need to follow, in all that we need to do, and we need to simply follow in participating in his actions in us. Because we want to see that there is this, in that letter to the Hebrews, that topic of the suffering, which is also then, of course, echoed in the Gospel's prophecy of Simeon, which, when Simeon says that this child will be was set for the fall and rise of many in Israel. And then when he turns to Mary and he says, and your soul, your heart, will also be pierced by that sword. This theme of suffering, which all of us know from our own experience, is so present in our human condition. The letter to the Hebrews points out, is present in Christ the high priest, who takes that suffering and does something with it. Doesn't let the suffering, the worst of all sufferings, of course, being death, doesn't let that suffering defeat him, but rather allows it to be transformed into an act of thanksgiving to God, transformed into an act of sacrifice to God. And so that is how, then, Jesus brings salvation to his people. A salvation which is truly embodied in himself as the priest, as the victim. And so we see, where do we fit in? Only because we are members of his body. We know that that Simeon says that this child is to be the light of revelation to the Gentiles. And we go back to our own baptism, when from the Paschal candle, that Easter candle, from that candle which represents Christ, our little candle is lit, that we too then are made members of his light, sharers in his light, sharers in his divinity, sharers in his life, and therefore sharers also in his mission. This includes us because we are part of him. And so we too then, our sufferings, our sacrifices, are motivated by his, when we sublimate our motivations to his, become part of that presentation in the temple. Not merely the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem, but more importantly, the temple of God, which is Jesus himself in heaven. And so we can ask ourselves, how is this all made possible? Of course we know the answer. By means of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, we saw how the Holy Spirit was moving throughout the whole scene of the presentation of Jesus. It's particularly emphasized that the Holy Spirit was present in the life of Simeon, present in the life of Anna. This same Holy Spirit continues to move over our lives, to work in our lives. My brothers and sisters, you and I would do well then to learn from the example of Simeon, to learn from the example of Anna. We see how they dedicated themselves to listening to God, to prayer, that conversation between man and God. We see how they became open to the Spirit, such that Simeon was able to hear the voice of God speaking to him through the Spirit. And that same Spirit revealed to him that this baby presented by Joseph and Mary was not like any other baby, but rather was the Messiah. And the same was true for Anna. And the same can be true for you and I when we learn to listen to the Spirit, when we quiet ourselves, when we commit ourselves to that life of prayer and fasting which was spoken of in the Gospel. It is only to those who pray and offer penance, only to those like Simeon and Anna, who are open to the breath of the Spirit, that it is given the gift to recognize the Lord in all the circumstances of our daily lives, all those circumstances in which he manifests himself to those who possess the ample interior vision, that vision of faith, to those who have learned how to love with the heart of the one whose very name is charity. My brothers and sisters, this Holy Spirit is given to us at our baptism, is strengthened in us through confirmation, but is always available to us. As God is presented in the temple today, so too we want, by that same Spirit, to one day be presented ourselves in the temple of the Lord of heaven. And so you and I would do well to pause this day to ask ourselves, are we willing to be like Joseph and Mary and be obedient to the law of the Lord? Are we willing to be like Simeon and Anna and pray and fast to be open to the Spirit? Are you and I willing to be like Christ, a light to the nations, a sign of contradiction? Are we willing to expose our heart to be pierced for love? Let us pray today that through the graces available in this Mass, we will be able to say yes to all of those questions.